we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm catching up with Mara Whitson, a Central Bucks resident who began attending school board meetings during summer of 2021, and she's since become a mainstay with her well-written and flawlessly delivered public comments. Welcome, Mara. Thanks for chatting with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I want to start by asking, in the public comments that you've delivered, this is kind of the first thing that I think caught my eye is like, okay, this person knows what she's doing. You're actually preparing remarks, delivering them in a calm, cool manner. You know, so much of these public comments are like, it gets very emotional in that room.
Agreed.
So one of the things I haven't been able to pick up on, honestly, when you deliver your comments and then seeing you start to participate more in the group and like on Twitter and stuff like that, I actually can't really tell your political alignment, honestly. I obviously know you're like team reality when it comes to the COVID stuff, but like conservative in general, would you say?
If I had to put a label on it, I would say libertarian, but I don't particularly with any party. I say small L libertarian.
Small L. So like not purist.
No, not on any party.
It's interesting because I feel like of the people who identify as like Democrat in the group, they always have the same thing to say, which is like, I feel like my party or my politics kind of left me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's still, I don't know. It's still people who I think cling to like bigger government interventions type thing. But you go through something like this and it really starts to get your wheels spinning about the whole big picture. So I'm curious how many more people now identify as like libertarian versus, really, it should be libertarian versus everything else.
I mean, I would say I started more Republican and have gotten progressively more libertarian through the last 2 years. I mean, that's what happens when something like this happens.
Yeah, definitely. How'd you get involved with school board meetings and coming and making comment and stuff like that?
So I didn't know that masks were required at schools until there was a press conference outside on July 27th, and one of the people running was running that press conference. So I showed up after I saw a Patch article talking about that press conference. I had no idea there was a meeting that night, so I came to attend that. That's how I found out.
Well, that's crazy interesting. So this is, we talk about it as like pretend press conference is what we call it, PPC. It's got an acronym, that event. I want to say like late July of 2021 or maybe early
July
August.
27th. Oh, yeah. That was the date. Yep. Still remember it.
So did you know going into that, you mentioned like you read the Patch article. It was going to be put on by, was it Mahmood?
Yeah.
Dr. Mahmood?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know like, okay, it's going to be, you know, she's going to come at it from this angle when it comes to masks?
It was kind of obvious from the Patch article that that's what was happening, but I didn't know the full story or what was going on. So I was interested to find out.
And at that point, did you like have a really strong opinion one way or the other about that issue?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I didn't know that was even going on in a school. And had I known, I would have gotten involved earlier. But I've always been of the opinion that it's your choice and nobody should be making you do it.
So I'm curious, you're in your mid-20s, I would say?
Yeah. About to turn 25.
So what, you know, not having kids in the school district, what is it for you? Like, why care? What makes you, you know, come up with that position?
A combination of I was in school not that long ago, and I would have wanted someone to speak up for me, and paying tax dollars. I don't want my money going to somewhere that does that.
Yeah. Well, what's it like for you now? And obviously we'll have so much to talk about, like your comments and stuff that have happened over fall and now winter.
Yeah.
But we're now at a point, I feel like, where pretty much everybody recognizes and agrees, okay, the masks did some harm. They probably weren't as useful as people thought that they were in terms of mitigating COVID. So do you feel really like justified based on the direction that knowledge has kind of changed the last couple of months?
100%. I mean, I felt justified at the beginning, but more so now as they're finally admitting to it.
So were you, prior to getting involved in like going to school board meetings and speaking, were you like one of the people going to like grocery stores without a mask and all this stuff back when it was like really bad?
No, I would wear one when there was a mandate. The way I felt and justified it was that it's a private business, and if they want me to wear one, I will. I didn't like doing it, and I will say my father and my brother were much better about not giving any care to it. They would not wear one. But I don't like confrontation, so I didn't want to be involved in any kind of getting kicked out of a store or getting yelled at, so I avoided that at all costs.
It's interesting you say your brother and your dad, males. My observation was always that the people who like really got harassed, it was always like a man harassing a woman who was not in a mask, almost always.
Yeah, I don't think that my dad or my brother really got approached, and I was always wary of that would probably happen to me if I were to do it.
Yeah. I just quick funny story. All the times I had gone maskless, I can't really recall ever having been harassed or bothered by someone other than like the store employees saying, please put on a mask. But we're up here in Upper Bucks, and there was one time when I actually was like kind of sick and I put a mask on because it was like a optics thing. I was like demonstrably sick with a cold, so I just wanted to go get cold medicine. Went to the grocery store. Somebody harassed me for wearing a mask. So I'm
that's
like,
a
okay.
Completely opposite of
someone
lower
who,
area.
Yeah, obviously doesn't know like who I am or whatever. Right. Or maybe he did. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, so walk me through then. You find this pretend press conference in the patch. What happens? You show up, and that was like, that was such a circus. Oh my gosh.
A complete mess. And I didn't know, I mean, there were three or four people that spoke in demanding that masks be put back on. So clearly they weren't at the time. And to me, I mean, we're almost a year and a half into it. We have vaccines. I can't imagine any reason for that. On top of, there wasn't a reason before that. But at this point, that's ridiculous.
Would you say you had the opinion that like masks don't work already formed at that point?
Yes, I did think that N95s in the capacity they were used before worked for those reasons.
Like PPE. Like
right.
For the person.
But never did I think that putting a cloth on your face was going to help anything.
Like control the spread and all that nonsense. My mask protects you and blah, blah, blah.
If anything, when they thought that surface contact was an issue, that would have made it worse. You're constantly touching your mask.
When masks were first being mandated, like early June to early July of 2020, that was actually a talking point. Like people would bring up, and you'd forever, the whole pandemic, you'd see people messing with their mask, with their hand. And it's like, that talking point kind of like died out at some point. But yeah, we shouldn't be touching our faces if we're trying to avoid a virus.
Yeah.
So what'd you make of, obviously, during the whole circus, and I don't even know where to start with like what happened there, but yeah, you see them basically making an argument with this fake press conference that you disagree with. That was the one where Megan Brock was hit over the head, right?
Yes, and I did see that happen.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. So I only saw like the reaction. It was out of my peripheral vision. So you actually saw it happen?
I was standing just to her left. I saw it happen out of the corner of my eye and turned to watch her react. And it was just, I didn't know at the time, obviously, that was a township supervisor. But regardless, that's terrible behavior. Yeah.
So in your observation, it was what it looks like on video. You saw her just take the sign and thwack.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it was getting tense before that, so I can't say I was too surprised.
There were a lot of people. Like, I think what led to it is people on both sides were kind of like jockeying behind the press conference podium thing, trying to like have their sign be shown. So they were like shoving each other and stuff. It was wild, man. That was like kind of the...
There was some bad behavior on both sides, I will say. I mean, I had one woman next to me yelling out some pretty bizarre things, you know, calling Fauci Hitler and things that I don't personally believe. But, you know, you want to put out your opinion in a press conference on your own, you can expect some reaction.
Yeah, for sure. And we had... this goes to like a major point. I wanted to have you on. I've like really appreciated getting to see you. You participate a lot in the group. The ability to recognize the folly of both sides and not just get sucked into like tribal, you know, loyalty or whatever. There was, I think I remember who you're talking about. Maybe there was a lot of screaming from both sides there, but there was one woman in particular who I won't name, who just based on what she was saying, we felt, okay, that was like kind of over the line. And when we found out that she was in the group, we actually removed her from the group. Oh. She goes to the next board meeting and apologizes. And this is something else you don't see enough of. People like owning what they do and apologizing and just trying to make it right. And I DM'd her and I was like, get back in the group if you can. That's awesome. Right. Thanks for doing that, blah, blah, blah. And it's been fantastic ever since then. But so how did that lead to you giving public comment?
I stuck around when I spoke to one of the people who had spoken at the press conference. I walked up to her. She was a student. I told her, you know, we disagree, but I think it's really great that you're getting involved. And it was a great speech. And the reaction I received was her asking why I disagree. I said, I'm not going to get into it. I mean, I'm just telling you, good job. And she says, are you vaccinated? And I said, no. So she says, ew, get away from me.
Oh, my God.
And I couldn't believe that a school I pay money to is teaching kids that come up to believe this, that it's that divisive, that it's gotten that bad.
That's so sad.
I felt the need to speak at that point.
And you went up to her, presumably, like, totally peacefully, just trying to give her credit, actually, like, say good job.
I wish that at that age I had been that involved and able to give a great public speaking comment at that age. So I was impressed, and that's what I was telling her. I don't care that, you know, she's on the other side of this issue.
So as you did, were you able to like prepare a comment, like write it out before you
I typed it? One into my phone. I was at about 12% by the time I got up there, but you know, it worked out. I don't know that I could have done that on the fly. Public speaking terrifies me. So
this is another thing. I think it's actually a really great story, like your involvement and where you've come. Like I said, a lot of people go to the meetings, and I kind of had done this at certain points myself, and you just sort of ad lib, and maybe you kind of sound like an idiot after it because you don't like have your thoughts straight. These are, you know, when you're trying to like give your position, and I remember it was this way before COVID, most people would like write out what they're going to say and take it seriously. This is like, you're speaking to a group of elected officials about a big issue, like make it count. And your comments have always been, to my perception, like, written out. You can tell that you put a lot of like planning into it. You even practice. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say I practice. I would try to get a good word count so I would know I'm not going to be rushing or going over the time limit. But I've never actually read it out loud beforehand. Just typed it up.
Yeah. A lot of times just writing them, it's kind of like practice in your head because you put the pieces together and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then would you say that you're kind of naturally talented when it comes to writing? I mean, these are legit. I just got to say, it seems to me like you're able to not only write out a coherent thought, you know, that gets your feelings out there, but you have a lot of like one-liners that are always, it's like you can quip in a speech, which is kind of a harder thing to do.
Well, that is probably from my dad's side. But no, I mean, I would say I was into writing since I was in school and very much into persuasive writing. That was probably my favorite thing to do. You know, in my high school classes, I would write an argument essentially for my side. And that was probably the thing I excelled at the most in school. So I guess I put it to work this time.
Yeah, good outlet for it. So your point of involvement is PPC, we're going to call it pretend press conference. That's like, to me, the height of the angst and division and whatever. Certainly things stayed really divided, like pretty much all fall. It wasn't until, I feel like they finally normalized once this statewide mandate was struck down by the Supreme Court. And at that point, we were in the clear to just like go back to normal school fully. But all throughout the fall, including the election, I wanted to ask you about election and if you were involved, what you observed. But how did you feel about like the overall division? Did it seem to you like from the time you got involved on that July 27th meeting, it just kind of gradually got better, or did it get worse?
I would have to say worse for a period of time, and now maybe a bit better. Election season, there was a lot of mudslinging, and I did get involved. I started volunteering for door knocking, and you know, you have conversations with people who believe some pretty crazy things that are being said about the candidates, and it was nice to dispel the myths, but it's sad to think that that's out there and that that's what's going on.
That's always been a frustrating aspect of this, is the ability for lies to... so much of this has been on social media. Obviously, we're a social media group primarily. Mm-hmm. The stuff just spreads like wildfire if there's not people trying to actually like stick to what this... You know, keep misinformation, I guess, out of the game. Right now, I don't know if you know this, there's like this whole thing out there about like snake venom. You know this?
I've heard it. I don't know the details behind it at all.
Okay. I'm not even going to remotely try, but there's something out there. And it's indicative of these usual things that like, at least from our side, you have to maintain a little bit of like team reality. Not just in terms of, okay, what are we going to do about a respiratory virus? But like, let's not get sucked into stuff that's just going to take us way over the rails.
Don't believe everything you read is a pretty good set of beliefs to follow.
And it's like easy when it's, you know, stuff like that, that's just kind of big topics or whatever. But like you said, when it gets to be about people and there's actual like just straight lies and like defamation, people get stuff wrong because they want to run with some narrative or whatever. That's pretty frustrating.
It's harder when it's somebody you've actually gotten to know. I mean, especially with door knocking, a lot of the candidates were out there with us doing the door knocking. So you get to know them, you know they're a good person, and then you see something put out there about them that you know to be false. It's frustrating to not have any good way to address it.
Yeah. In the spirit of, you know, the I guess, big kudos I would give to you, which is the consistent ability to see both sides and kind of strike a middle ground that I feel like is really rational and appropriate. Did you see any of that with the other candidates, the, what do they call them? Like CBSD United or something like that?
Yeah, I would say I had some good conversations with Tabitha Delangelo, who's now on the board. I don't know, you know, how real they were, but what we did talk about, I was impressed that she was willing to really listen. And that's kind of what you want out of somebody that's going to sit on a school board. I do think all of our candidates had that ability, and she might have been the only one on that side of things that could do that.
Interesting. So clearly you put in a lot of work. You mentioned you were actually door knocking. That's pretty awesome. How did it feel once election day comes and the board gets actually more team reality?
The win itself felt good. I don't know that I would ever door knock again. I don't really feel that it does much. I would feel annoyed if I had my door knocked on. You know, I think it's good to remind people there's an election coming up, especially in an off year. But I don't think you're convincing anybody at a doorstep. People are pretty much locked in on what they're believing at this point in time.
Yeah, that was so real interesting observation there. I mean, you have some candidates, I'd say, especially in places like Central Bucks and Council Rock, where it's fully regionalized. Mm-hmm. So you only have like a couple thousand doors you would have to knock or something to hit all of them because it is ultra regionalized. Who those candidates might swear by door knocking is like, this is the thing I have to do. And I think for a lot too, it's like there's an aspect of, well, I want to do something. I don't want to sit around my house and just do nothing. So I'm going to go door knock. Like it's something to do. But I'm probably with you, I would say. So I don't know if that just means we're like introverts or whatever. But if someone knocked on my door, I'd be like, hey, sorry, I got stuff to do.
Now's not the time. Yeah. And I think you can end up actually either offending someone or upsetting them. And then maybe they vote the opposite way because they're not happy with you. So you have to be careful when you're door knocking.
There were the most interesting part of that was I know there were a lot of candidates in different parts of the county who were like door knocking the opposite side of the ticket. So I want to say like Democrats door knocking on Republicans' doors or vice versa. And that's where like you're just going to get into an argument pretty much every door.
I can't imagine knocking on anybody's door that I already know probably isn't going to be happy. I don't see the benefit.
So what would you recommend then in terms of what candidates should do? I mean, we're only ever like a year away from another campaign for school board.
I think we're not very adept, at least on the right side of things, to social media and how it can be used in a better manner. I mean, for dispelling the things that are being put out there that are false. I think you're going to have to realize you're in a world of that and you have no choice but to get on social media if you really want your message out there.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think in Bucks, I feel like Reopen Bucks was a kind of a game changer in that. So many conservatives, it seems like they're not on social media. So what you need is to have enough people that you plug in to all of the people who are friends and family of folks on social media. But there's a lot who aren't. So I would figure if I just had to guess something like a Facebook platform, you're going to have way better reach to Democrats or to liberals than you are to conservatives.
That may be true. Tough. I think you'd be surprised how many aren't on. But at the same time, they are plugged in, like with family members that are. I mean, even if my dad's not on, I'm on there. I'll tell him what's going on. So I think you underestimate how much they hear from social media, even if they're not on it themselves.
Yeah. And you and your brother are both in the group. I mean, this is almost like a family.
A little
bit. Reuben Bucks family, which is awesome.
Well, my dad was actually the first. I didn't know about the existence of Reopen Bucks until the day of the pretend press conference. He told me I should join it after I gave public comment.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Recruited by dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So moving past election, we swear in our board members. And I think, like I said before, shortly thereafter is when the Supreme Court did their thing and
yeah.
school just kind of goes back to normal now. You're in kind of a unique position in that Central Bucks, it feels like, didn't really have to do much from there. They already had the solid board. They had a plan of action and they just went back, I think, more readily. Some school districts, it was kind of a slog until like February or whatever.
Right.
Or in some cases, like until the CDC. Yeah, exactly. Could be really bad. I'm curious though, once you were involved with Reopen Bucks and you're still, you know, giving public comments, and that's, for me at least, I think how you're becoming really well known to Reopen Bucks people. Was there any other like reopen dynamic type stuff that you were getting involved in?
There's a few Facebook groups that are, you know, kind of the same members really, but smaller, closer knit, I guess. But I wouldn't say that Facebook is my main mode of operation. I don't do much on Facebook. I'm really more on Twitter or something like that. And that's, I don't really do much besides getting involved in social media and then the door knocking and public comment.
So what was your observation when, I think in about that time frame, like December to January for Central Bucks, because things went back so quickly, we saw this like very rapid switch to other stuff that's now still being talked about and very, it's like, it's just as emotional if people have just dumped their emotions into a new topic that they're running away with.
Well, I think part of that is that until school went online, parents had no clue what was going on. I don't mean they weren't involved, but there's so much you don't know that goes on in a classroom. And I guess being a little bit younger, I was already aware of that. I wasn't as shocked by it. So I kind of don't have that surprise emotion reaction to it. Whereas parents who are just learning that their kids are learning some pretty kooky stuff, they're upset, rightfully so. And they want to hear after they've solved the COVID issue and the terrible health and safety plans and they're back to normal, they now want to address all of the stuff they learned in summer 2020 or fall 2020.
So it's like unintended consequence of COVID overall and the overreach and everything being driven by the teachers' union specifically. Yes. Like,
I've been very actively pro school choice for as long as I can remember. And I think it's finally opened the eyes of a lot of people who didn't really understand how important that was or that public schools were so involved in convincing kids of certain things. And I think that's actually the one silver lining I will say we've gotten out of COVID is that parents are more involved in their kids' education.
Yeah, for sure. This school choice thing, I feel like it's a central topic to this gubernatorial race that's going to come up now. In states like Pennsylvania, where school was, you had the school board wars, as they say. I feel like all of those states, you're going to have that. But I, to be honest, I don't know much about the whole school choice angle. Is it like, your dollars will follow you? So if you go to a private school, you don't have to pay your property taxes or something like that?
Yes. So it's essentially a voucher system. So your money that you had paid into the system would follow you to whatever school you want to send your kid to, which creates a competitive marketplace and schools actually have to be responsive to you. A public school now knows that they get to keep your money whether or not you go. So why would they try to be any better? They have no reason to.
It makes me wonder though, won't it, you just have a whole bunch of people swing over to private schools that maybe would bring down the private schools? Like you'd kind of, wouldn't the same thing ultimately happen where they all kind of just become the same?
I don't think so. I think private schools have a lot less regulation. So they're already a bit better in that aspect. But it's similar, the analogy that I make is essentially if you usually grocery shop at Walmart and then you decide, Walmart's not really doing it for me, I'm going to go to Giant. Giant's better. You're not really making Giant worse by heading over to Giant, but if Walmart got to keep your dollars, you're now paying twice as much for groceries. So that's how I view it, at least.
Man, that's kind of depressing.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Go to Giant and still pay Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird system. And like you said, you imagine in 2020 when they're straight up saying, like, we're not going to be able to open school. And yet you had private schools, which were not only open every single day, but completely mask-free, normal, no quarantine, no distance, no nonsense. Like there should have been some choice there and people would have had to actually answer the call.
And speaking of that, there was actually a bill that was put to vote in the legislature specific to COVID. If you didn't like the COVID policies in your school, you could take your dollars elsewhere. And too many Republicans voted no. And that's been one of the things I've learned throughout this is you can't just rely on the R next to the name to make the right decision.
A lot of them are endorsed by the PSCA, mm-hmm. a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I imagine PSCA would be like the number one staunch lobby group against anything like school choice.
Every teachers union, I mean, American Federation of Teachers, PSCA, all of them. I mean, you've seen the strikes that have gone on when they don't get what they want. It's a real systemic issue.
Yeah. Well, now that people are more engaged, I guess we'll see where it goes after. I feel like right now the whole big thing is like content that's in the schools, stuff like books and mm-hmm. whether, you know, what the policy is on teaching transgenderism and all of these different things. But yeah, I wonder if we'll zoom out, and certainly as the gubernatorial race heats up, that conversation is going to be very front and center about actual policies like that would affect big change. So yeah. Hopefully it happens.
And I think people don't really realize that you wouldn't have to worry quite as much if you could just take your kid to a school that fit them better. So you don't really have to worry about what books are in a library somewhere else if your kid's not attending there. So it's, you know, you can have your choice. And you think during COVID, I don't have a problem with a school existing that does have, you know, full quarantine, full masks, as long as it's voluntary.
Right, exactly. And that point really makes me wonder, with all this stuff, you've had so many people who are just as adamant as we are that there should be choice.
Yeah.
You have people adamant that collectively we all need to wear masks, we all need to have strict quarantine, 10 days isolation, blah, 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 whatever. I wonder if they were actually in a system where there was choice, what they would have choose. Because I feel like today, where everybody can choose and things are pretty much just back to normal, you see like where people's hearts really are.
Yeah.
How many kids are still wearing masks in school? How many kids, mm-hmm. if they get the sniffles, they go take a test and choose to stay home for 10 days if they're positive?
Like right.
when you don't have to do it, but instead you have to figure out, how do I just be a decent human being with whatever I have, whether it's COVID or the flu or whatever,
yeah.
how do I handle that? And I feel like these people are probably not, you know, still clinging to all of this stuff.
No, I think it's a return to basics. If you're sick, you stay home. It's always been that simple, but we made it a lot more complicated.
Yeah, we made it very complicated. It was just nonsense for a long time. You've recently said, I think it might have been this last board meeting for Central Bucks, where you said, maybe you should say it because I don't want to botch your own words, but something to the effect of, you know, I've spent some time thinking about it and I've decided that I am going to stay engaged and keep coming to these meetings and keep an eye on things. Is that an accurate representation of your comment?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to continue making public comment, but I want them to know that I'm there watching what's going on and I'll be back if necessary. I don't want this to become my life. I think for some people it's become a little bit too involved, and I would like to focus on other issues if I can, but I still want to be involved, and I don't want to make the mistake of letting it get too far next time.
Yeah. So when you say other things, you mean you want to find other avenues for like advocacy to branch into, or politics or things like that?
I mean, I hope to never really be truly involved in politics, but I would like to advocate for things like school choice that I mentioned and other areas that are more important to me than what goes on in a school.
Yeah. I hope somewhere along the line you do have some involvement in politics. There's, to be perfectly honest with you, there's this crazy stuff going on with like both political parties in Bucks County are kind of weird right now. So there's some weirdness there. But, you know, the ability to like put together thoughts that are respectful of everybody but still strike the point you want to make with such force, mm-hmm. that is a rare talent. It just needs to be recognized. And I don't mean to, you know, make it awkward or anything.
No,
just,
yeah, I'm not great cool. at receiving compliments, but I appreciate it.
Well, it's been very cool. Like I said, too many of these board meetings, it's just been like comment after comment of people who are getting very emotional.
Yeah.
So I feel like every time you see your name on the list with Central Bucks, it's like, you know, you're getting to a point where it's going to be a nice break of like, I'm genuinely curious, what's she going to say? It's like tuning in almost.
I try to pick a topic every time that maybe I don't think will already have been hit by somebody else, and try to focus in on something that hasn't been talked about, because I think hearing the same thing over and over, you're not convincing anybody.
Yeah. And people totally tune out to these things. I mean, I would say for the most part, most things that happen at a school board meeting, it's pre-planned. They know how they're going to vote. They have things worked out. You do this, I'm going to do that. They have their little like strategies, and then they just try to do it. So it's not like the comments are making that much of a difference to what happens in the meeting. It's just what does the community perceive of like where we're at or whatever?
And I feel like it's better to get across the point that I think is trying to be made in good faith from, you know, the people that want choice, but is maybe not being taken in good faith.
Yeah. Well, that's a great way to end it there. I feel like, especially now as we, you know, do this podcast and all the stuff we're doing to like wrap up the group and put the group into a parking spot, at least until, you know, we need to come back.
Right.
You got to start asking yourself the question. Both sides need to start asking themselves, like, how do we just heal and respect each other's choices? And I think a big part of that is figuring out a way not to be like in constant attack mode. It's yes. fine to, you know, sometimes engage and especially to defend yourself, but we don't need to your point about the school board candidates and door knocking, we don't need to just spew venom at each other forever. We got to find a way out of that.
You have to figure out when it's necessary and be able to pull back when it's not.
Yeah.
So.
Well, great conversation. Great stuff. Thanks for getting involved. I'm sorry it started with pretend press conference, and that's a little weird, but your comments have been awesome.
Thank you.
It's all been much appreciated. Thanks for being a part of Reopen Bucks.
Well, thanks for creating Reopen Bucks.
All right. Thanks for coming on. We'll catch up with you later.